Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be to see you and to be here. I have the privilege of being here at Spanish Wells in Gospel Chapel. And I certainly trust and pray that as we spend these moments with you, not only today, but in the next week or two, those things that we share with you will be a rich blessing to your life, as well as it has been for mine. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 4. I am not generally what you would call a topical speaker, although occasionally I do take a particular topic. Generally, I take a passage of Scripture and work out of that from what we would call expository preaching. And in a sense, what I will be sharing with you this morning is a bit expository, but more topical because I will be dwelling on a particular subject matter. And that subject which I will be dwelling on this morning is the subject of faith. It's something that we take for granted. It's a matter that we do every single day. You get up in the morning, and as you walk to the bathroom, you just absolutely take it for granted that when you turn the faucet, and that is faith, the water will run. You take it by faith that when you go into the kitchen to get breakfast or to get started there, that when you turn the knob on the stove, but the flame will come up, or however you handle it, it will work. Take it for granted. And it is still a matter of faith that when you walk to your cart or your car and you flick the switch, that it will start and get you going. Now, these things don't always work, but we believe that that is precisely what's going to happen because it's the manufacturer's instructions and all the rest of it. When you walk into this chapel this morning, I guarantee you that not one of you took the bench and you shook it and you checked out the legs to be sure that it would work when you sat there and that you would not fall off. That is having faith in the ability of these benches to hold you. And it is something that we exercise every single day, and we absolutely take it for granted. I know that I do. I know that I have on so many occasions. And I've preached on, to be frank, I don't mean to be frank Perry, but to be frank in terms of honesty. It's interesting the way these things come up. In terms of honesty, I am not so sure that I have ever really preached on the subject of faith. I've used passages of Scripture having to do with the matter of faith, and one of those you will see in our passage very clearly. But I am not sure that I preached on faith. And about a month ago, maybe a little bit more, I was in Green Turtle Key preaching on subject matters or thematic matters from the book of Romans. That was what I shared with them at that particular time. And the more I studied, the more I prayed, the more I meditated on the passages of Scripture that I read, it seemed as if God, by His Holy Spirit, just said to me, Marcel, wait a minute. You've been going all around this subject matter, all around the field. Let's stop and localize. And only one phrase came to mind. One tiny little phrase. Now I ask that you would look at turn your books to chapter 4, but let's go to chapter 5, verse 1 for one moment. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. that little expression, that little phrase, by faith, came to mind, and I absolutely could not get away from it. And true to what I felt the Lord was directing me, I decided to take some time to study, to meditate, to read Scripture, and to see what God was saying to me about this little expression, by faith. It is what I call the incredible power of faith. I want you to be thinking about it. I put it in those terms, perhaps a little dramatically, but intentionally, so that you could begin to think about this whole business of faith. One of the things that I came across as I looked at this passage of Scripture, actually I was working chapters 4 and 5, was the often occurrences of the phrase faith or by faith. The second thing that came to mind was the incredible benefits of faith in these two chapters. And the third thing that popped up as I looked at this passage of Scripture, the motivational factor of this phrase, by faith. What does it cause you to do? And faith is not something that just simply stands alone with nothing else happening. You just simply say, I have faith, and that's it. But it motivates us to do something, and we'll look at that in a few moments. And then finally, the vitally essential nature of faith. How important it really is. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 4. I will read perhaps the last several verses of the chapter. There are 25 verses in the chapter. I think I will read from about verse 13 down to the end. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. By the way, if you want an exercise, an interesting one, take your pen or pencil, if not this morning, well, perhaps not this morning, sometime when you go home, take this passage of Scripture and just simply circle or underline the word faith in these two chapters, chapters 4 and 5 of Romans. Verse 14. For if they which are of the law be is, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed. That is another expression that you may want to take into consideration alongside the word faith, believe. Believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he had what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, since we're talking about faith, we must, of course, also seek by some means to define what we are talking about. Faith in God really is something that comes from the heart, not just merely the head. We understand by our minds the things that our brain and our mind helps us to understand and appreciate. But we act on that by faith as a heart expression. It is not merely intellectual. It is something that is also spiritual. For the Bible says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Faith causes you and I to know the reality of something in our hearts and in our lives with our understanding, even before our eyes literally see it. I dare say that, just to make it personal, someone had faith to believe that there would be a chapel on this spot before it actually came about. Some of you had faith to believe that this chapel would grow in terms of physical structure to the point that it is. Some of you had faith to believe that in terms of numbers, you would see the growth and development of this assembly to the point that it presently is. But you did not actually have the numbers at that point in time. It took place step by step, day by day, month by month, year by year, for you to come to that place of seeing the numbers, of seeing the development of this physical plant that's here and over there. It took time. But somebody believed that in the economy of God and with the help of God, it would come about. That's first having faith, believing that God would really bring it into being. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 gives us this expression. And it's a very, very important expression. I think perhaps this verse was one of the very first verses of Scripture that triggered my mind with regards to the whole business of faith and what it really means to us from the point of view of how vital it is to our lives. It says this, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, it is true as human beings, we are dependent upon sight. The things that we see around us, the things that we are involved in, the things that we take a hold of day by day, moment by moment. But when it comes to the matter of our relationship to God, His promises to us, and how we react to all of that, it is not because we literally see these things before us. We simply believe God. And we walk in accordance to what we believe God has said, and that is the expression of faith within our lives. Hebrews 11. Just about all of us can quote that passage of Scripture. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is substance. It is tangibility. You can stand out there on the street corner and you literally visualize a building. Something that you believe God would is guiding you to do. And in your heart and mind, even though the building is not there, even though you don't have the money in hand at the moment to actually put it up to construct that building, yet you believe by faith that this is what God is saying, how God is guiding you. And you can tell your friend, in 5 years, there's going to be a massive building there for the glory of God. Faith is evidence. Not only substance, it is evidence. It's the confirmation or the verification of things that is unseen. Now, some folk use the expression, seeing is believing. Actually, that's nonsense. Because once you see it, once you have it in your hand, you do not have to believe or hope for it any longer. It is actually there. Okay? Now, let's look at our text for a few moments that we read, and as I outlined it, the numerous occurrences of this phrase, by faith, particularly in the context of Romans chapter 4 and that first verse, Romans chapter 5. Now, there are several references. I think I counted perhaps about 14, 15, maybe more. I don't precisely remember. I didn't jot down the number here. But I will give you about 4, 5, or 6 references very quickly for in your hearing. Verse 3 of chapter 4. We didn't read that, but here's what it says. Abraham believed God. That is, Abraham had faith in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth or has faith in him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted unto him for righteousness. Now, Paul argues the issue of Abraham in this passage of Scripture very, very strongly. Abraham came out of a pagan world, worshiping pagan gods. And some way, somehow, the one true living God of the universe who created it all, put it all into being, whom we know as God the Father, Elohim, Yahweh, encountered this man at some time. I'm not even sure that I recall how old he was when this took place. I'm not sure that that is even stated. But God, some way, somehow, encountered this man, got his attention, and started to talk to him. And as God, the true and living God, spoke to this man, Abraham, told him about his promises for him, what he is going to do for him, or what he desires to do for him, the scripture says, this man, Abraham, believed. Now, did he have a vision of God or an understanding of God in the way that Moses had? I am not sure. But we know this, that Abraham's encounter with God was an experience in which he was absolutely certain that he was in touch with the living God, the one true living God. Obviously, he was also concerned about his relationship to that God. He may also have been concerned about his sin, that which separated him from the true and living God. And God made it clear to him, look, if you are going to be in a right relationship with me, then Abraham, you've got to get away from all of these things and trust me. And I am the one who will be your righteousness, so that you could be in a right relationship with myself. And God, the word says, Abraham believed him. That's all we are given of Abraham at this point in time. And I recall sitting down one evening in the quiet of the hour, personal meditation, and this scripture came to mind. Abraham believed God. And I had to ask myself the question, Marcel, do you believe God? Not just believe in God, but do you believe Him? You see, it's extremely important for us to appreciate this fact. When God speaks, when God gives promise, when He utters His word, He can do nothing else but speak truth, because that's all He is. He is a God of truth. He is a God who was given promise, says Paul and Titus, and who cannot lie. His entire being is on the line when He speaks. The psalmist says, He esteems His word even above His own name. And so it is important for us to believe God. His personal integrity is on the line when He speaks. And Abraham gave him that had that understanding and gave God the ability to maintain his personal integrity. And the scripture says, Abraham believed God. Now that's the problem with so many people in the world today. They do not believe God. They will pick up this book and they will read it from cover to cover. They will memorize many passages of Scripture in it. Very, very powerful, important passages of Scripture in the text. But then they go off on very, very crazy tangents with respect to life. And so few of them really believe what the Word says. I go to breakfast at Wendy's fairly often in the morning. In Nassau. Don't spend very much money, just a little bit of money. In fact, I probably get almost 25% off. As a senior citizen, I get a small discount, and then they give you a free newspaper, which is 75 cents on the road, on the street. There's a young man that also comes to breakfast at Wendy's. I do not believe in the slightest that this man is a Christian. However, he has told me that in his personal life of distress, he has taken this book and for 7 years he studied the scriptures. And he is able to take passages of scripture from almost anywhere of the book and quote it accurately. This man can quote scripture more than I can. But he goes off on some very, very crazy tangents with regards to what the Word of God says. And many others in this world do exactly the same. They do not believe God. In fact, they literally make God a liar. According to 1 John chapter 1. And so, the question comes to not only to me, but also to you and this entire world. Do you believe God? Now, if you do, it means that something must change within your life. You will now have to see your life be brought into utter conformity and harmony with the life of Christ, with the life of God, with what God says ought to be true of your life. I started to read a few passages of Scripture. Let me go on very quickly here so that I will not run out of time. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. That's also an extremely important factor. I will not get into it now, but understand this. It did not come by the keeping of the law. In fact, this period of time was way prior to the law. Okay? Did not come by the keeping of the law. But, and that's a very, very strong but, showing the difference, but through the righteousness of what? Faith. All right? God had given this man promise. You'll be the father of many nations. Your seed shall be as the sand of the sea, as the stars of the heaven. You'll be a blessing to many nations and so on. The father of the faithful. Abraham believed God. The next one at verse 14. For they which are of the law be it. For if they which are of the law be is. Notice this. If they of the law which are of the law be is. Faith is made void. They are totally incompatible, the business of the law and faith. Incompatible. And the promise made of none effect. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be by faith. That's verse 16. And I read verses 24 and 25, the last one. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe, that is, if we have faith on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. There are many other passages which deal with the word or phrase by faith or believe. You can look those up for yourself. Let me just look at one other section of my outline, and then I think I'll close. I'm cutting down on what I have to share with you this morning. This last section that I will share with you has to do with the vitally essential nature of faith in the Christian's life. Hebrews 11:6, which I believe many of you know and can quote very, very clearly. But without faith, it is impossible. Say that word with me, please. Impossible. Now, the last time I checked, the word impossible meant impossible, and that is all that impossible means. Impossible. It can't happen. And the writer of the book of Hebrews, who has demonstrated himself to be an extremely capable and credible writer of those things which are true regarding the Scriptures and concerning God and our relationship to him, has made it clear, without faith, that is, firstly, saving faith, and living faith, faith that drives us, that moves us to do things with respect to our relationship to God, without this, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, firstly, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Young people, Do you want to please God?
I know you do.
You don't have to raise your hands or shake your head or anything. I believe without a doubt that you do want to please God. One of the simplest and easiest ways to do that is just simply to believe Him. Believe His word. Believe what He has promised us. And then act on what you know to be true and what you believe to be true. And day by day, you will be pleasing God. The next one I want to share with you is this. From Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Whatever is not of faith is sin. If it is not of faith, it is sin. That's a very powerful expression. Difficult for us to understand. But if you take on a venture, just simply in your own energy and in your own power, and not trusting God to work in you and through you to even give you the vision and understanding of what this is all about, and trust Him to actually make it a reality in your life, it is sin. Faith is essential for our daily life. For us, and the scripture that I read a little bit earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:17, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And the most powerful one that God has used, in fact, He has repeated this phrase, and wherever you find a repetition, it becomes extremely important to understand. The just, that is the righteous person, the one who has been declared righteous by God, shall live by faith. Every day of our lives should be a moment of faith, trusting God. One very small incident, and then I close. Illustration. A couple of weeks ago, my car went down. We only have one car. So if that goes down, that's we have to use Walk Street and Company. Or the jitney. And my wife, I don't think my wife has ever used the jitney. I have. Because I had to move from one place to the other. Unfortunately for us, the place where it stops is about the distance between here and the wharf. So I could walk from there to my house where the jitney stops. But my car went down, and it went down at a critical time, and we needed to borrow a car. Fortunately, Shirley Heights did not have, I checked to all my home people, they had nothing available. Shirley Heights did not have anyone preaching there to be using the car at the moment, and Brother Alec was so very gracious. He said, you can go ahead and use our car. They have a brand new car. Perhaps not more than 2, 3, 4, 5,000 miles on it. I don't think it's even quite 5,000. I remember going out. I think this was the first morning I had it. I sat down with my wife and my granddaughter and I prayed, as we usually do. And I specifically felt led to say, Lord, please keep us safe today in this car. Coming back home, my granddaughter was in the car along with me. I got to my corner to make a right turn into the corner. And in Nassau, if you drive in Nassau, you know that everybody wants to get there first. And the rule of the game is if you get your front fender in front of the other guy, then you have the right of way. That's the way they do it in Nairobi, Kenya, downtown. Okay. I stopped. In fact, everyone stopped at the corner. And a guy was coming ahead, the big truck. I stopped in front of him. And both of us decided to go at exactly the same time. In my haste to avoid hitting him, I pushed the gear up to try to find reverse. And I hit park. And I was stuck. He had already moved, and However it happened, I heard the brick screeching, his big screech, screech! And I guarantee you, I didn't actually get out of the car to see this, but I'm telling you, I think that his front bumper came about that much from mine. It absolutely did not hit, and I said, praise God, praise God. My granddaughter turned around and looked at me as if I was crazy, and I was shouting, praise God. But by faith, I was trusting him to keep us safe on the road. When you walk out of your house in the morning, in fact, even before I get out of my bed, when I awake in the morning, I lift my heart to God for that day. By faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. Father, help us, we pray, to understand and appreciate what you have given to us in your word. Glorify yourself in us, we ask, as day by day we honor you by believing your word, believing you, and having faith in you in all things. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.